So the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us a few halachas about the story involving Pinchas and Zimri, the halach of Kanan and Pogambo. One of them, they're all from Rabbi Barachana, but one of them is Shem Piresh Zimri Vahargo Pinchas Nergalav, that if Zimri would have been Poresh, and then Pinchas would have killed him, so Pinchas would have been Chayav Misa. On the flip side, Nefach Zimri Vahargo Pinchas, if Zimri would have killed Pinchas, A Nergalav Shai Rodefu, meaning Pinchas, even though he was allowed to kill Zimri, but he was considered a Rodef vis-a-vis Zimri, and obviously not vis-a-vis anybody else. Obviously Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't kill Pinchas because he was about to kill Zimri, but vis-a-vis Zimri, Pinchas is a rodef because he wasn't enacting a chiyuv misa in the classical sense. It's a special din of Kanan Pogambo. So the Achronim asks the following question. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in Source 2 says, Rodef shei rodef chaver l'hargav yachal hatzilo be'echad me'evara v'lo hitzil neragalav. That if the nirdaf can, seemingly the nirdaf, definitely somebody else, but seemingly the nirdaf, there's a Mishnah Melech about this, don't have time to get into it. If there's a way to save oneself without involving, killing the rodef, so you have to do that. And if you don't do that, so you're neragalav. So if Zimri, what?
Neragalav means you killed yourself?
Neragalav. No, he's killed for it, right? So if Zimri was, meaning Zimri had an option here. He was allowed to kill Pinchas because Pinchas is a rodef, but there's an easier way to solve this problem. He could be Poresh. Once he's Poresh, Pinchas is not allowed to kill him. So why is it that to separate from Cosby? So if Zimri could have been Poresh and avoided the whole thing, why is it that he was allowed to kill Pinchas as a rodef? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva, Simon Zion. It's kedai to really go through this tshuva probably in like 8 shiurim that are each an hour. I'm going to try to do just some of the highlights because there's so much in here. So he goes through a number of the terutzim and he rejects them. I'm not going to go into those. But the yesod that he has is the following. Let's say, and we'll see how this plays out l'maisa in a minute. Let's say somebody is sitting at his table and eating dinner. And a guy comes in with a knife, and he says, "If you don't stop eating the dinner right now, I'm going to kill you." So the guy happens to have a gun on him, and he shoots the intruder. So the police come, and they say, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, the guy looked like he was about to kill me, and in self-defense, I killed him." So they say, "But he gave you an option of just putting your fork and knife down. And why didn't you take that option? Wouldn't that have been a more peaceful solution?" He said, "I'm not mechuyev to do that. I was eating my dinner. I wanted to keep eating my dinner, and this guy wanted to stop me. And therefore, that wasn't an option. It's either he kills me or I killed him, and I killed him." So Shlomo Zalman assumes that in that case, it's pashut, that the homeowner is correct, that's called self-defense. He's not mechuyev to give up his, whatever he's doing, in order, his devarashus, in order to do that. Now, what if he was eating chazer, and the guy comes and he says, "I want you to stop eating the treif right now, or I'm going to kill you." So there, he's mesupak. He says, on the one hand, you're not chayav misa for eating chazer. So what is this guy coming along and saying, "I'm going to kill you for eating chazer"? It's not within his purview to do that. On the other hand, the guy eating chazer is not really entitled to eat chazer in the same way that the other fellow was entitled to eat his dinner. And maybe the whole reason that the guy is coming at him is to be matzil him from an avera. So even though you're not allowed to do that, you can't threaten somebody with his life to stop him from an avera, but maybe there's a svara there. But in the case of Pinchas and Zimri, Pinchas, the Rishonim say that the reason why Pinchas was killing Zimri was not to stop him from the Aveira, it was to be Mekane Kines Hashem. Meaning, Pinchas didn't say, be Poresh right now, I'm going to kill you. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that you do it to be Mekane Kines Hashem. So Pinchas wasn't stopping him from the Aveira. So in a very extreme kind of way, Zimri was doing what he was doing, and he was not obviously morally entitled to do it, but legally he was doing what he was doing, and Pinchas was trying to kill him for it, and therefore Pinchas was a rodev vis-a-vis Zimri. So why is this lamaisa? So there's four psakim in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa that got a lot of criticism. As you know, Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa was written by Rav Neuberg, who was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Shlomo Zalman's psakim appear throughout. Rav Shlomo Zalman read, you know, went through this very carefully, and you find him quoted on pretty much every page. So there's four psakim quoted in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman, all of which have the same theme, and they all received criticism from Rav Pinchas Epstein, who was a dayan at Eidah Charedis. The first one is if somebody, let's say a chola, needs a candle on Shabbos. Okay, whatever, it's pikuach nefesh. You have to light a candle for a chola. Now, there's no candle in the house, but the neighbor's Shabbos candles are still going. So you knock on the neighbor's door, and he says, what do you mean? It's Shabbos, and you have a chola. Light a candle for yourself. I don't want to give up my candle and sit in the dark. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, that's mutter. Meaning if the neighbor is going to be caused tsar by giving up his candle, you're not mechuyev to take away the neighbor's candle. You're allowed to light a candle on Shabbos for the chola. So light a candle for Shabbos and chola. Same thing with food. You knock on the neighbor's door for food, for a chola, and he says, what am I going to eat? And so Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you're allowed to cook food for the chola on Shabbos. It doesn't matter if a neighbor has it, but the neighbor is, you know, doesn't have enough, and he needs it for his own meal. So same thing. Or you have, what?
You have to walk on a meal?
This is more theoretical, but, you know, how it plays out practically, I'm not sure. The same thing. You need an ambulance on Shabbos. But the neighbor has a car. Just the only thing is, this is Rav Shlomo Zalman Shita, that the neighbor, if he drives, can't drive back. So he's going to be stuck at the hospital on Shabbos. So you're not mechuyev to ask the neighbor to drive the person to the hospital. You can call an ambulance, and the ambulance will do whatever it does.
And the fourth, you
do have to minimize the malacha if all things are equal. But if minimizing, this is the point, if minimizing malacha is going to cause tsar, agmas nefesh, to somebody else, you're not mechuyev to do that. And then the fourth, similar thing, electric wires fall in a public area on Shabbos. So you have two options. You can stand there the whole Shabbos and tell people to go around the electric wires, or you can call the electric company, and then they'll take care of it. So he says, you're not mechuyev to stand around the electric wires, and not that, you know, in most cases, that's probably not the best thing to do anyway, but assuming it was all safe to do that, you're not mechuyev to do that. And the running theme throughout these is that's not called efshar lahatzil when it's going to come at the expense of something else. And that is what Rav Shlomo Zalman was talking about with the case of Pinchas and Zimri. That even though, in a very extreme sense, Zimri was involved in a terrible avera, but from a legalistic perspective, he was entitled, from a Dine Nefashas perspective, he was entitled to be doing what he's doing, even though morally it was wrong. And that's not called Efshir Lahatzil Yidei Davar Acher. And there are a number of rayas to this. If you read through this tshuva, you really get a good sense of Shlomo Zalman's way of thinking as a whole. That's why I think it's kedai at some point to really go through this be'ion. So some of the things he points out, he says, we know the famous Shaila Hutru the Chuya. He says this is not shaykh to that, because even if you hold Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos as the Chuya, everyone agrees it's not an Aveira. So if it's not an Aveira to light the candle for the Chola, so the fact that it's going to come at the expense of somebody else, that should not play, that should not be a factor in this. He points out that on Yom Kippur, let's say somebody needs to, the doctor says he needs to eat on Yom Kippur. So he eats on Yom Kippur. Now there's a solution. You can go to the hospital and get hooked up to an IV. So we don't find anybody doing that, although, you know, there's a discussion about that as well. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. The Rav did it one time. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says there's no chiyuv to do that. Why? Because there's a derech, there's two different ways to solve the problem, and you're not mechuyev to really inconvenience yourself to find a more permissible way to do something when there's another way to do it. He also points out that you don't find that a woman in her ninth month has to sleep near the hospital every Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah recommends that. That's in source number 10. But Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's not Meikra, then that's a Chumrah.
What's Pshat Gemara in source 2 then?
So the Gemara in source 2 is when you can be matzil bechamevarav at no expense to you.
No expense.
Right.
In the case by.
Right. He would argue that maybe if the echamevarav situation was much more costly, versus, you know, like a bullet versus a knife or something, or whatever, I don't know, maybe that too, you could argue that you're not mechuyev to put yourself at a major expense to avoid that. And certainly when somebody's threatening you, that's a different level. But
So Zimri was like a level of threatening. You
know? Meaning Pinchas was basically threatening Zimri.
Right.
Oh, actually, no, Pinchas, that's the point, that Pinchas wasn't threatening stop or don't stop, he came straight at him.
Therefore,
but it's not called, right, that's not called, right, meaning being poresh is not a form, is not efshel lahatzil. So then Shlomo Zalman points out that there seems to be a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Magen Avraham. The Mechaber says, so you have people come on Shabbos. This is in Hilchot Shabbos. They come and they try to steal. They try to ransack the town. So mechalalin, you could be mechal Shabbos. Shimlo yichenel Yisrael lishal v'lovus yahargo. It's going to be iskei nefashos. Meaning you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for your money. But here, if they come, what's going to happen? People are going to start fighting back because they don't want them to take their money, and it's going to lead to dinei nefashos. So you're allowed to violate Shabbos preemptively to prevent them from coming in. So Magen Avraham says, no, meaning they're attacking. So you see they're about to attack. You're allowed to go out and preempt them because you know that people are going to fight back, and it's going to lead to somebody getting killed, or potentially somebody getting killed. So the Magen Avraham says, wait a second, why don't you just let them, meaning don't violate Shabbos, let them save your money. I mean, let them take your money, and then you can solve the whole thing. So Shlomo Zalman says, first of all, the Gemara doesn't seem to follow this. In the case of Bab Machteres, you know, if a guy's digging a tunnel, so the Torah says, you know, we assume that he's coming on Liskei Nefashos. Okay, that's sources 14 and 15. And the Gemara in source 16 says, Bein B'chol, Bein B'Shabbos. This applies even on Shabbos. So even though a guy's digging a tunnel, and he's probably there just to rob you, he's not there to kill you, and you can just say, hey, you know, I'm not going to do anything, just take my money, I don't want to be Mechal Shabbos, but you're not Mechuyev to do that. But then, Shlomo Zalman lines up. This is an interesting. This gives a good sense of the way he thinks. So he poses the following hypothetical. Okay, a guy comes and he points a gun to your head on Shabbos, and he says, "I'll give you two choices. You can chop down, take a fruit off a tree, or give me your money, or I'll kill you." Right. So really, three choices. And you have the option. So he points. This is obvious that if you have no chance of killing him, you're not allowed to try to kill him because that's sakanas nefashos. But let's say you know you have the upper hand. Okay, so you're allowed to. He's threatening your life. You're allowed to neutralize him. So wait a second. Why don't you just give him the money? Or why can't you picking the fruit should be the easiest option, right? It's pikuach nefesh. You're allowed to pick a fruit on Shabbos, but then you say no. Why would you be allowed to pick the fruit? Give him the money because you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save your money, and you're basically pulling a fruit off a tree in order to save your money. So then he says, but wait a second. You're not mechuyev to give up your money. You know that's the case of Bab Machteres. So that seems to be that the Magen Avraham is right that you should give up your money. So he says no. It depends what your goal is. Meaning, if you were planning, if this happened during the week, and you were gonna defend yourself, so then you would pick the fruit because you're picking the fruit basically just to save the life of the threater, right? If you pick the fruit, you're basically saving this guy's life. So it's pikuach nefesh for the terrorist, right? But if you weren't gonna do this during the week, if during the week he gave you the choice of give me your money or whatever, and you would give him the money, so then all bets are off, and you're not picking the fruit to save the guy, you're picking the fruit to save, your money. And so that would be aser. So that's how he resolves it. Then he throws out, there's a machlok between the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. In the following case, it used to be pikuach nefesh to do, if you didn't have hot water for a mila, so you need to wash the baby after the mila. So what happens if the water got spilled out? before. Are you allowed to do the bris knowing that that you're going to have to afterwards heat up water to save this baby? So Baal Mor says no, and the Ramban says yes. You do the bris. The Ramban says do the bris, and then worry about it later. And the Baal Mor says no. You can't put yourself in a situation where you're going to eventually have to be Michal Shabbos. There's another Baal Mor about going on a boat. We'll get to that in a second. So maybe it's totally on that. Meaning the Magen Avraham might hold like the Baal Mor. They have to try to avoid these situations at all costs. And the Ramban says you don't. So Rosham Lazam says, no, that's not true. The Baal HaMor only says you can't put yourself in the situation. You're not mechuyev. Even the Baal HaMor would say you're not mechuyev to get yourself out of the situation. So that's a higher level. To be in the situation and try to get yourself out of it, that even the Baal HaMor would not go as far as this. So the Magen Avraham is going even further. So then Rosham Lazam points out another Magen Avraham. This is on another Baal HaMor about going on a boat on Shabbos, knowing you have to be Mechal Shabbos later. Okay, so you're so in the old days, whatever, everyone on the boat was responsible to take care of the way the boat traveled. And so if you go on a boat during the week and then Shabbos comes and it'll be your Toranut to be in charge of the boat, you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos, even though it's Pikuach Nefesh, meaning if you don't do what you need to do, the boat might sink. So the Magen Avraham says, the Gemara, according to the Baal HaMor, the Gemara says you're still allowed to go on the boat on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You're not allowed to go on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And for a Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to go even on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Marival that if you know for sure that you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, then it's usher even for a Dvar Mitzvah and even during the week. And then at the end he says, Al pizeh somchin atzman shemistakman atzman. That's a different discussion. I think we're going to discuss that in 2 weeks. We discussed the Bar Kamsa story, that Magen Avraham. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman has something about this in the same piece. But that's a different thing. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman concludes that the Magen Avraham is Lishitaso. That the Magen Avraham says that if there's a Vadai Isser that's going to happen as a result of your actions, meaning you can't put yourself in a situation where you know for sure, 100%, that you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos later, that's the Magen Avraham Shita, and that's why you can't, if the marauders are coming into town, and you know for sure that it's going to be a situation where you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, so you're not Mechuyev to put yourself in that situation, better to give over your money than to do that. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's a Shitas Yachid, that everyone disagrees with the Magen Avraham, and you know, if you put all the Lishitasos, then the Baal HaMor disagrees, the Ramban disagrees, and many other Rishonim disagree, and therefore you're not Mechuyev to avoid a situation, you're not Mechuyev to put yourself out there to come up with an alternative of Pikuach Nefesh when there's another alternative of Pikuach Nefesh that might be a little more chamor, but it's Pikuach Nefesh for Tzorech that would ordinarily be mutter if you took out that other option. Okay.